Hi, this is Pete Duell.
If you're wondering about why my voice sounds a little different, I've had laryngitis for about 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know how to really get rid of it. Anyway, I'd like to rap with you about land, air, nature in general. I was very fortunate as a kid. I grew up in Penfield, New York, and at that time it was a small country town, surrounded by fields, farms, beautiful woods. It was no accident I grew up loving the outdoors, just doing what came naturally. To make things even better, our vacation time was spent by a lake in northern Ontario, where my brother, sister, and I swam, fished, hiked, and just goofed all summer long. A country almost too lovely to describe. Things have changed a great deal since then. It hasn't been that long. Penfield is no longer a small country town. There are a few open fields left, and the woods have been pushed back more each year. But it will always be home, a part of me, because I grew up there. I suppose it's the same for most of us, huh? Nevertheless, it hurts to see the hills torn apart and the forests destroyed by man and his machinery. Do I even have to mention the crud-filled air and polluted water? Whenever I get the chance, and that isn't too often now that we're making Smith and Jones, I desert Hollywood and head for the mountains and keep going until I'm far away from the city society that pollutes the senses. I get away from man-made sounds that blast the ears, air that clogs the lungs, billboards that offend the eyes, and I search for air that you can't see, natural colors to trip on, and the fragrance of wildflowers, trees, lush meadow grass. I want to enjoy these things as long as I can. But at the rate things are going, it might not be too much longer until nothing is left. Unless you and I take it upon ourselves to do something about it. We're in trouble. Our complacency has gotten us there. We've all sat back and enjoyed our super-amplified, non-returnable luxury without any consideration of the damage being done. It has taken us 200 years to get where we are now. I wonder how long it'll take to clean up the mess we've ended up with. Will it be cleaned up in time for our children? I doubt it. But we can try, can't we? I believe it's our duty to try, regardless of our chances for success. The future of this country and the rest of the world is in our hands. The environment has got to be cleaned up, and it will be, through the unified efforts of young people like you. You know, I've learned a lot about ecology simply by reading some of the many paperbacks available on the subject. You owe it to yourself to learn more about how you can help clean up the mess that past generations started and the present generation seems willing to perpetuate. I wish I had the opportunity to speak to the students of every school in this country, to encourage them to start a committee on ecology. It's not hard to set up, and the list of beneficial projects you could take on is a long one. You'd find they can not only be satisfying, but interesting, and even fun. Concern for the environment is not a fad, no matter what anybody tells you. It's not something to be involved in today and forgotten tomorrow. It has got to be a continuing fight to make this country a healthier, more beautiful place to live in, for us today and for our kids a few years from now. There are a number of ways I try to help in ecology every day. For instance, I try to buy foods and drinks in glass containers, as glass is easier to recycle. I stay away from cans that can't be reused. I try not to use plastic eating utensils, styrofoam cups that are just thrown away after one usage. I give up my time to ecological groups every chance I get. Now, this all sounds very small because it's just one person. But if we all did it, if we multiplied that by millions, can you imagine what it would accomplish? Can you imagine what would happen if we refused to buy a manufacturer's product because it polluted our environment? They would have to change their products and their packaging, which would make our environment a safer place in which to live. That might hurt their business for a little while, just long enough for them to make the changes that are necessary. I'm more concerned about your health and my health than their business. You know, the greatest pleasure for me as an actor is to please you. And when I do a show and can feel that it gives you pleasure, even if for only a little while, then I can feel that I've contributed something for your enjoyment. Acting is a difficult profession, but acting is a difficult profession, but I enjoy it. And I sincerely wish for you a lifetime of pleasure, in your work, and in your leisure time. And one of the ways to do that is to become involved in those areas that will help make this country a better place to live in. Believe me, you'll find it very satisfying. I want to thank you for listening. I hope you have a good day today and a better one tomorrow. Hi. You know, whenever I get the chance, I try to break away from the studio in Hollywood and I head for the desert or the high country. Most of the time, I have to get up at 6 in the morning to be at the studios on time. You can believe that. Very often, I don't get home until 7 or 7:30 in the evening. So, you can imagine what it means to me to be able to get away whenever I can, where I can relax. But going to the mountains is more than that, than just to relax. It gives me a chance to experience firsthand the natural environment, to visualize what it must have been like in this country 100 years ago, and to sadly wonder what it will be like 100 years from now if we don't do something about it. Sounds like I'm pushing the mountains, in my case the High Sierras. But what I'm really pushing is any place, anywhere in this country where you can go and enjoy nature as it once was and should still be. Where you can sit under a tree and hear the leaves rustled by a gentle breeze. Where you can smell the fragrance of pine and juniper and oak, the fragrance that cannot be duplicated by man. Where you can wade or fish in a stream that is pure and fresh, and breathe the air without fear, or lie in peace with unhurried thoughts. That's the way to get your head together. Wherever I go, when I'm camping, I try to leave the land cleaner than the way I found it. I see that every spark of fire is out. I don't mean to sound like Smokey the Bear here, but that's pretty important if you've ever seen an area that's been burned by a forest fire. I pack up any trash, carry it back to the city, where it can be dumped and destroyed, or recycled. I don't pick flowers or carve on trees, or paint my name on a rock. You see, if you ever go where I've been, I want you to enjoy it to the fullest. I know you'll do the same for me, because when I'm in the country, I don't want to see your trash. And I know you don't want to see mine. Peace, and have a happy day. And now, if you can stand it, I'm going to read a couple of my poems for you. I hope you enjoy them. This poem is entitled Glen Canyon Eulogy. It's about an area out here in the west or the southwest that was covered by water from a water project. And it was one of the most beautiful canyon areas in this country. Now I weep with unknown brothers for our land I never knew. Land once taken, gone forever, raped and stolen from our view. Time and distance, culture different, have decided I not see. Land now taken, gone forever, by the white skin. Weep now, white skin, by the white skin, you and me. This was written in August of 1969. It's called We Got. We got filthy air. Air is all. We got rotten rivers and water is air. We got strangled streets and beer can highways, crowded rooms and fume-filled flyways. We got crap on our minds. We got commercial this and billboard that, neon thin and neon fat. Yeah, we got beauty, but it's all in books or on some screen or where no one looks because it's too far out of town. Now what are we going to do? The sky is blue, but you have to look straight up to see. And air is all we got. This was written in 1965. It's titled, The Work Resembled a Smash of Cottage Cheese and Rotten Fruit, Food for Thought. Madam, your son has just been shot between the eyes. Please tell us in your own words why he died. And Madam must produce an answer, or her son has disappeared like so much peanut butter and jelly on a Saturday afternoon 11 years before. Get off my back, Corporal. He's dead. I'm sorry. What do you mean, why? And Corporal must produce an answer, or his buddy has disappeared like so much PX beer 11 months before. I'll be straight with you, soldier. You've lost that leg. But with luck, your right arm will be as good as new. And because soldier couldn't find the answer polished for him 11,000 miles away, he took a .45 and decorated the wall with his brains. This was written in November of 1963, right after I'd got to Southern... Blah, blah, blah. Right after I'd gotten to Southern California. It's titled Musings of a Western New Yorker in Southern California. How I miss the crisp golden smell of fall. Pheasants half clucking, half honking their silly call in back of the house. The haze of leaf fires hanging in the air, a comforting fuzzy for annual thumbsuckers. Occasional boom of shotguns, fired not in hatred, but wide-eyed child anticipation of bringing home a trophy for the little woman. The little woman creating a masterpiece out of cold, dead fowl, stale bread, bitter cranberries, and dirt-encrusted sweet potatoes. The sharp crunch of thick green grass underfoot, starched and glazed the night before. By now the moles and woodchucks have retired, leaving the birds to forage alone. We would build a fire and smile, once more in wonder of the coming freeze. I'm going to leave you with this. I wrote this in 1965. And it's called Love. Love, an infinitesimal piece of starbreak that drifts into consciousness, entering in pastel ways to become simply love. Thanks for listening. Peace and ecology now.